Okay, everybody, welcome to the Strategus podcast. Our numbers are doubling every week. I'm Pat Allwell, and I'll be your host this afternoon.
I'm Ryan Grabinski.
I'm Todd Sohn.
And we have a special guest, a gentleman I've known for a long period of time. I knew him when he was combing his hair on the left, Robert Belinky. Mr. Belinky covers the European markets for us. He doesn't speak a lick of French or German or Italian. How that happens, we don't know, but he's quite successful at it. His hair, as you know, is gone, but the dandruff remains. So we have him covering the London accounts. Bobby, we're going to ask you for some of your views as to what's going on in Europe in a little bit. But Ryan, let's talk about rates. We've been talking about rates now for a while. Todd last week mentioned 4.75 would be the area to defend. It looks like the market's defended 4.75. What now, brown cow?
Yeah, I think we're at 4.65 at the start of this podcast here. It seems risk on when you get the decline in rates. I mean, even some of the most riskiest corners of the market are rallying pretty significantly today. I think quantum computing, nuclear, these areas of the markets are really rallying and took the CPI report as good news. Inflation seems to be under control, at least in the month of December. We'll find out.
Well, is it under control? It was 3%, 2.9 year on year. It came in basically as expected. But as Chris Ferrone pointed out today, there was also some other big dramatic event happening within the market, which is the tremendous earnings in the financials.
Yeah, the financial sector has been doing quite well. I mean, there were six companies in the financials that reported today. All six of them beat estimates pretty handily. Obviously we're at the beginning of earnings season, but it's not just the financials. We had a earnings report from Delta last week. They beat as well. You're even looking at like the home builders, which also KB Homes reported. They also beat estimates. So you're seeing pretty sound fundamentals in the market still. There's been really no change. The market's still expected to be up. Earnings growth is still expected to be about 6.5% this quarter. 9.5%. And we're looking at 13 to 14% growth for next year's, or for, I guess, the full calendar year now. So overall, it's, the fundamentals remain sound. And we haven't really seen any change, and there's nothing to really report different there.
So, Todd, in the past, when rates have been near peaking, public buying of the TLT has sort of surged. Do we have any evidence of that right now?
Not necessarily, no. You've actually had outflows from TLT over the last 2 or 3 months. Most of the money for fixed income ETFs is going to the short end. Still, okay. Cash, money market funds, cash like ETFs. There's been a little bit of boost to that recently, especially because the market paused to start the year. But perhaps we'll start to see some folks bottom fish TLT again.
Do you think the market, I'm talking about 10-year notes, you think that we have moved to a level now that 4.75 is top of the range, we're going to go back down to some lower number?
I don't know. But what I do know is that rates have been largely sideways for the last year and a half, right? We're just in one massive range. They tried to push it out of that. Nothing yet. The reprieve seems well-liked by equities. You're getting a pretty good response to oversold conditions. Now the question is there more follow-through, and what does participation look like? Because if the market continues higher by these big cap names, but you don't have the rest of the bench involved, that's when you start to get problems.
So I read something in the journal today, I think it was by James Freeman, about now the risks for the market are higher rates. Do you see that at all? Is that the grenade being thrown across the table here?
I mean, I think that's evident. It's probably most evident in the small cap trade, right? When rates were backing up, small caps were falling. Rates are down today, and small caps are rallying. At the opening, they were up 3%. It might be 2.5% now. But that is the risk on trade because of lower rates is no more evident than in small cap space. Now you could say some of that is because of the strong financial earnings, and financials make up a big component of small caps. But when you look at the correlation of small caps to rates in the shorter term, it's certainly more closely tied than the longer term correlation. The one thing I was going to say is that also came back on the table today, which we talked about last week, how the Fed was down to just one cut for 2025. Another cut actually was added back into the market. So
today.
Yeah. So you're looking at, I think it's at 1.7 is what the market's pricing in, but we round that to two. You're looking at something like June, July, and then later.
The market's been wrong though, but it's forecast rate cuts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 6 weeks ago, we were looking at four cuts this year. And you know, now we're down to two. So you know, the direction that it's moving is that the Fed is closer to the end of the cutting cycle. You know, maybe investors would hope for.
Todd, any squiggles in corporate credit? I mean, that's one of the things that all many eyeballs are.
I don't think so. Unless I'm missing something. Credit spreads are tight across the board, right? Which makes me a little weird because how much tighter can you go? But I don't. Yeah, you got a tiny bit of widening, but I don't see much out there, which has been good, right? It's kept the involved in stocks, but it also begs the question of how effective is it too? Like, we'll be too late by the time spreads widen out before stocks drop. Not the case yet.
I just don't know how much the private markets are distorting the public market spreads. Just give me abundance of liquidity in the private markets, and the number of, you know, there's no, if you're a lower quality public company, you don't necessarily have to go to the high yield market to you know, get funding. You can need to stay private, not deal with all of the public disclosure.
The other item is, so okay, spreads widened out, you would expect to see defensive sectors outperforming. That's not the case yet. I just looked at the staples are at 5.4% of the S&P 500. That's the lowest in 35 years data. There's three stocks that are larger than staples now: Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Amazon and Alphabet are almost larger than it too. So maybe banning food dye is the bottom in staples. I don't know. They don't matter anymore.
Staples are also down because as bad a news as this might hit management at Strategus Research Partners, is that alcohol, we've discovered, is bad for you. And a lot of the staples associated with that fell. And if you're Robert Kennedy, you might not consider Velveeta, which Kraft itself calls a cheese food, but legitimate food.
The other thing, though, which I think goes underappreciated, or maybe it's less talked about because everyone focuses on the construction of these sectors based on Standard & Poor's definition. Think about the biggest staple out there. It is Amazon. How many people, you know, get these deliveries to their house? That's considered a discretionary stock by the Standard & Poor's.
That's not a staple.
No, it's not a staple. Yeah.
Right. They sell groceries, you know.
Yeah, they sell them.
Yeah, they sell
just own a grocery chain.
Yeah, the grocery chain. It used to be called Whole Paycheck. Now it's called Whole Foods. Financial Times had a front page story about poor Germany. Used to be the powerhouse of Europe. Used to do nothing wrong. We were to emulate them. Bobby, there's really bad things happen in Germany. Not that you're worried about that. I know that sometimes humanity typically doesn't rejoice when, let's say, the Germans rearm. But no growth in Germany. And I think the Bundesbank is forecasting no growth again this year. And they're particularly worried about tariffs. What are your European customers selling?
So I was in Frankfurt last week. And the sentiment that I got, and I was in London with Mr. Clifton. And the sentiment that I got just from walking around is that it was really, really quiet. It was eerily quiet. Now, in fairness, we were there on Monday and Tuesday.
After a big holiday.
Of last week. It actually wasn't after. It was still in the middle of the holiday. So people hadn't come back to work on Monday the 6th, which was one of the days we were there. And it was very, very quiet. But overall, when I went out for drinks, or when I was talking to my clients one-on-one, the sentiment was resigned. People are very, and I put this in my note, although it's not a award-winning note such as yours, it is a note nonetheless. And
it could be worse. It could be Rob Lepolo's note.
It was Lepolo's note. But it was
the most error-prone.
It was that the clients are resigned to the idea that, you know, it's basically set it and forget it when it comes to U.S. equities, and that's it. And it's kind of boring, right? But I'm not of that view personally. I think that European equities probably surprised to the upside here. I think you have a little more volatility, or maybe a lot more volatility than maybe consensus believes here in the United States. I think that you are going to see some geopolitical things that have not bubbled up to the top just yet. I'll write about that this weekend.
So you talk about London being sort of quiet. What about Frankfurt? Was Frankfurt quiet?
Frankfurt was also very, very quiet. Also, it's slow. It's cold. Maybe it gets better in, you know, in the spring, but it was quiet. The hotel rooms were infinitely less expensive than London. Usually I gauge things on my expenses, right? Because if it's really expensive, there's a lot of demand. If it's less expensive, there's less demand.
But what's interesting about what you're saying is that, and Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, but the German stock market did quite well last.
DAX is at a new high.
Yeah.
And they can thank SAP for that.
And isn't that a derivative of the AI trade?
That's an AI software trade. And then Siemens to some extent, which is a conglomerate.
So you're talking about companies, basically it's at an all-time high because companies that are driving that are companies that get revenue outside of Germany.
Yeah.
Well, there was once upon a time, Volkswagen was the top name within the DAX, and that is now in the mid areas. I think it might only be 2 or 3% weighting in the DAX.
We had, I don't mean to interrupt you, we had a conference left, a macro conference here in New York. We had a woman speak whose name for the life of me, I can't remember. And she gave a presentation that was very eloquent on the positive aspect of investing in Europe. One of those things that she mentioned was the dividend trade. European companies pay a lot more dividends. You guys would know better than me. But if Dan Clifton is correct and President El Trumpador is going to go ahead and tax buybacks, the dividend trade becomes a lot more lucrative. And so maybe that is part of this.
To be fair, it depends on the level of the taxation.
Buybacks. Right.
So 1 or 2% is probably not going to move the needle.
Yeah.
But you know, if you get 10-15%, that certainly
is 1 or 2% going to make up the shortfalls we have?
Certainly.
Okay. Well, 1 or 2% couldn't pay for one house in Malibu.
That's just at the end of the day, that's just not how these taxes go get implemented. It's right? There's no appetite for 15% buyback.
But once they start raising taxes, they only go in one direction up. And if they were to institute that, you're going to get less buybacks, right? The government, it's going to get less buybacks.
Even the threat, just the mention of it, right?
But this is economic populism, which is not in the Republican playbook. This might be in, you know, a footnote in Elizabeth Warren's playbook. She was quoted in the paper today saying that if they are sufficiently tough on the banks and pro-consumer, that she could get on board with some of these populist reforms that the Trumpador is
talking about. That blunder yesterday.
Chris, what was her blunder?
At Hegseth's hearing.
She called him a general.
She called him a general. He was not, he called her.
Set that aside. forgot what I was going
to
say. But
Bobby, this is live. We're going to have to come back to you after the question. So let's go back to ETFs a little bit, Todd. You talked last week in that terribly prescient, terribly brilliant podcast that we did about the equally weighted ETF that they were coming out with. There's some naysayers now saying, well, people are going to go there for protection. They're not going to get any protection in that if the market suddenly decides to swoon. You have a thought on that, pro or against?
The only reason you go equally weighted is to water down your big tech exposure.
Okay.
And that was I want Bud Light instead of Bud Heavy.
Okay.
That's why I'm doing it.
Regular Bud, it's called.
Regular. Well,
Bud.
So it was Bud Heavy in my college days. That's the main reason you go for it. Or, I mean, if tech falls off and value ever comes back, you play it that way too. But I think it's mostly due to water down your exposure to big cap technology stocks to stocks in terms of a portfolio.
So,
but it's not only watering down technology, right? You're watering down other sectors as well.
Communications.
And you're getting more exposure to
energy and staples.
Yeah. Staples, real estate, utilities, yes. Which can have their moments. But
it's a defensive move.
It's a value tilted move, which is probably more defensive than anything nowadays. Right.
So let's talk a little bit about politics. A lot of people thought, I can never pronounce his name properly, Hegseth. Will be the one who fails. Dan sort of believes that Kennedy is going to get through. It looks like from the press reading that he is likely to be nominated as well. In addition, Donald Trump threatened all hell would break loose if the hostages weren't released prior to January 20th. And it looks like there's some accord between the Israelis and Hamas today, brokered by a Trump diplomat that looks like he might have some success there, a la Ronald Reagan with the Iranian hostages. Any thoughts? Robert, you're our expert on all things Middle East.
So
speak loudly, please.
I would not call me an expert, but I think everybody walked away from this unhappy, so it's probably a pretty good deal. And anything that stops fighting, I think, is probably a pretty good deal. I doubt that this is, you are looking at a bunch of different situations around the Middle East that could change very quickly. You have a new government in Syria who is very antagonistic towards the Iraqis, probably thought that war was over. That might bubble up again. You have Turkey, a NATO member. I don't know if they're actual NATO members or NATO junior members.
No, they're NATO members.
NATO members. And so they are flexing some muscles. You have the situation in Lebanon. You have the new prime minister, Joseph Announ, not affiliated with Hezbollah. We'll see.
What's interesting, though, is you mentioned all of these instances, and the defense stocks really haven't, they haven't really done too much in the traditional defense stocks, I should say.
So that's
the traditional defense stocks. See, a non-traditional defense stocks are soaring. Specialist defense.
Give me an example of a non-traditional defense
stock. Palantir.
Okay, so this is a very good point that there are, if you look on Twitter, there are lots of reports on how involved Mark Andreessen, how involved Jeff Bezos, how involved Elon Musk will be in the defense space. Mark Andreessen did a podcast, probably viewed by slightly more people than are going to view this podcast, with the Heritage Foundation. And he talked about drones. Drones are an absolutely fascinating industry, because the reason that they haven't come to fruition at this point is because the Biden administration went ahead and they implemented very strict restrictions on who can test them. So they needed pilots. So the drone companies had to overpay the pilots from Delta, pull them out of Delta, and test those drones, raising the price.
Is this what was happening over New Jersey?
I don't know what was happening over New Jersey, but the president has told it. The president-elect has told everybody that he's going to mention it to him. But we'll see. I will tell you this with regard to geopolitics. Watch South Korea. Watch Taiwan. President Trump is exhibiting a exhibiting a proclivity to gravitate towards the acquisition, however we define it, of smaller places like Greenland, like Panama. If the Chinese decided to do something similar, they would gravitate towards Taiwan. They would gravitate towards re-engaging with North Korea to take over South Korea. These are very small chances. This was the conversation I had about geopolitics with some of my friends who know a lot more than I do. But before, 2 weeks ago, the odds of this were zero. Or a month ago, the odds of this were zero. Nobody had this on their bingo card.
Well, the problem, and Tom Friedman, and I'm a big fan of Tom Friedman, who's been an apologist for the communist Chinese, but he had a column this week, and it makes some sense that if Trump goes on to acquire, he called it an acquisition, Greenland in one way or another, writes him a check, and that saw the New York Times do, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but the price would be between $12 and $50 billion, that would be a sign to China, well, you've lost your moral outrage, you can't do that, we'll do the same thing. And then, of course, Panama Canal, we're not talking about taking over the country, we're talking about reasserting control of that canal.
I understand.
And big countries do strange things. First of all, they don't have friends, they have interests, and they do things to protect their interests. Somebody, I think it was Kerry, said after Russia invaded Georgia, he asked, I'm not giving you the direct quote, but what is this, the 19th century? And it is, because it always has been. We might, robe ourselves in righteousness, but at the end of the day, it's about what's in our interest.
We have you brought up China and the economic weakness before, and we talked about this earlier this week. China has some major economic problems, and I don't think that is deniable. And the problems can manifest themselves into war. When countries are poor, or they're or or they're having economic problems, that could lead to some sort of conflict by countries projecting this conflict outside of their borders to try and rally the people.
I have one question before we wrap up for you, Bobby.
Yes, please.
The dollar has been quite strong here. So when you fill your expense report out, it should be lower, correct?
My expense reports are not lower, but they are not as robust as my colleagues here, despite the fact he does not leave the 20-block radius of the office.
Do you ever order a Vesper in London?
I don't order anything. I don't order Vespers. I don't have...
So you couldn't tell me what the price of a Vesper
was? I could. Of course not. Of course not.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, those are some things that I'm going to be writing about. I will give them to you, and maybe you guys can talk about them later. I had some questions for Todd, but he looks very busy.
I have to excuse me.
Well, we're all going to go. I would share with you on the China stuff. They just arrested, in September, they arrested a communist because he spoke on a WeChat saying that the economic numbers were bad.
Yes.
And then there was a recent economist that was in Washington at the Peterson Institute, Chinese economist, and he suggested some things that were not consistent with the CCP, and he's been called in for interrogation. This is a really bad thing for China. They don't get it.
It's a big threat for the world, China.
Well, what I'm talking about is you're taking entrepreneurs and other people who need to speak their minds, say, hey, red is going to sell, not green, or this car will sell, not that. You eliminate animal spirits. And I think that doing that is not in China's best interest. But Xi evidently just follows everybody. He's reading lips right now, probably, as we're speaking.
Yeah, glad this guy.
But we'll be back next week, and we hope once again to double the number of people listening. Last week, there were 6. I'm running out of children, so this week, Bobby, your kids are going to have to get to 12.
I hope you guys have me back. This was a lot of fun, and I have lots of things I can come back after every time I go to a...
You're monopolizing your little time here, Bobby, but we do appreciate, and we have some parting gifts for you as well.